right, they turn, they give it to Chubby, vault, he lands, touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If you can't slow down Chubb, man, you can't beat this group.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And does that mean that this winds up being the last game Mitchell Trubisky starts?
I think everybody can be a lot better, myself included, and we'll just have to look at that.
Today's guests, three-time Pro Bowl cornerback Joe Hayden, Cowboys quarterback Cooper Rush, Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, plus Eagles cornerback Darius Slay. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live from Los Angeles, California, right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. This Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, coast to coast, and the Odyssey app on Monday. I've been promising this for quite some time when we finally cultivated this caper like Maury the Wigman back in the day. We're back on Sirius XM radio on Monday. Sirius channel 218. XM channel 202. So we're splitting the feed between Sirius and XM on Sirius XM channel 218 and channel 202. That's the way we're going to start rolling on Monday. We're again here on this feed live on the Roku channel, streaming every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern time on all Roku devices, Samsung smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV, and the Roku app has the Roku channel on it. So does the internet. The RokuChannel.com is how you can stream us and watch us every single day on a desktop and through the internet tubes. All of it's free. That's the neat part about it. We are completely free. And then there's our podcast version on the Cumulus Podcast Network, all 3 hours every single day. There's our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show as well. Once the show is over, you can see some clips and follow the show, and please hit the subscribe button there. Bottom line is there's no excuses. There's no excuses, and that's the end of that. I don't mean to be very aggressive, but that's the way we're rolling. We got four guests
it's
today.
Friday, man.
We got four guests today, right in the middle of hour number two. We've got the quarterbacks of the way that week number three will wrap up. We've got both Cooper Rush and Daniel Jones back to back. That's how we roll. That's what happens when you consume a program that's hosted by the pregame and halftime host of Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Cooper Rush, Daniel Jones. That's going to be a huge one to wrap up week number three. Darius Slay helped wrap up week number two with one of the best games a corner has put on film in quite some time. Big play Slay will join us in hour number three from the 2-0 Philadelphia Eagles, who took care of business against the Minnesota Vikings to wrap up week number two. And next up for them is they're at the Washington Commanders. A little Carson Wentz hosting his former team. And it'll be lots to talk about with Darius Slay there. And then look who's joining us in about 17 minutes time. He's here in the flesh, in person. The guy who is retired from the NFL. His announcement came out this week on the old Twitter machine. Joe Hayden, a three-time Pro Bowl cornerback. Met him when he was just a pup coming out of the Florida Gators and being drafted by the Cleveland Browns. And then he spent some time, as we all know, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So who better to talk about last night's Steelers-Browns game than Joe Hayden? He'll be joining us shortly. Later on in this hour, we're collecting all of our thoughts and much information as we can get, with the Celtics not giving out very much details, very many details on why their coach, the Eastern champion coach from last year's NBA season, Ime Udoka, has been suspended for the entire year and all the way through to June 30th. So it'll be through the draft. It's just like, if you go the whole route, it's the entire season from now until the draft. And they didn't give many details as to why. But we'll talk about that later on in this hour. Chris Brockman, good to see you over there. You've got some What's More Likely, as always, on a Friday.
What's More Likely? Sneaky good games. Let's do this.
You will give some advice to those looking to make hard-earned American dollars based off of football games this weekend.
As long as there's no crazy lateral fumble touchdowns with no time left.
And so you'll also have some What's More Likely scenarios for me to chew on as to what will potentially happen this weekend or not.
Absolutely.
That's what we always do on a Friday. To see you. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts here on a Friday.
Yes.
A full five-day residency here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Wow.
Fantastic. Putting your best Roku foot forward. Well done. Very pleased about that. TJ Jefferson lighting the candle on a show in which he will give fantasy advice, hopefully better than last week's. Good to see you over there.
Well, really, I told you not to play Tom Brady, and that worked out pretty
That's true.
So. That was pretty smart.
That's true. Okay.
Look we'll just for the place, negative, Rich. That's the way to start the show.
We'll just
look
place the Rashad Bateman stuff aside. It's okay. But I love you, TJ Jefferson.
Okay, so we're going
to nothing
nitpick.
But love for you. Nah, it's all good. Later on, your fantasy advice for everybody who takes in this program. And you got
is that it?
There you go. Cooper Rush will again be on this program. I chatted with him yesterday. Wait till you hear what he has to say.
Two varsity quarterbacks on Monday. Let's go.
Look at that. Oh, you just called Daniel Jones a varsity quarterback.
Not on purpose.
Okay, so we've got a kickoff game from last night to talk about on Amazon Prime. The Browns and the Steelers. And how about these Cleveland Browns, everybody? We knew they would play at least 11 games without Deshaun Watson. We'll see if Deshaun Watson returns on time based on whatever evaluation is occurring with him. But of those 11 games, what do we say? Just win five and you're in good shape? Win six? Well, it's five, you're in decent shape. Six, you're in good shape. Seven, you're just, you know, you're just
sitting pretty, correct? Yeah, absolutely.
And through the first three, they've got two. And if it were not for the New York Jets stick-to-itiveness. If it were not for the New York Jets, Joe Flacco, and a bounce of the ball onside kick and in a defense that just went to sleep after Nick Chubb scored his third touchdown of the game, Browns would be 3-0.
Right.
And if it were not for a missed extra point with no time left, and in a missed field goal in overtime by a kicker who has such ice in his veins that if there was a pole in the middle of the two uprights of a field goal upright in the NFL, that kid McPherson would hit it almost every single time.
Yep.
And because there was an injury to the Bengals long snapper in week number one, and the team that gave up five turnovers to the Steelers, the Bengals could not get that extra point. If not for that, the Steelers would be 0-3. But you've got a 2-1 Browns team and now a 1-2 Steelers team. And the reason why the Browns are 2-1 and the reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers fell to 1-2 last night is because Nick Chubb may just be the best running back in the National Football League. Certainly one that you're not talking about. He's the best you're not talking about enough. 113 yards on the ground for the Georgia Bulldog. Nick Chubb, 23 rushes and a score. And he now leads the league. Obviously, he's the first one, along with the Steelers, Najee Harris, to be a regular running back, the starting running back to play the third game. But he has now leads the league in rushing with 341 rushing yards through 3 weeks. He is the first Cleveland Brown running back with over 330 rushing yards in the first three games of a Cleveland Brown season since, yes, sir, Jim Brown in 1963.
Heard of him.
That is how he is running the football. Since he was drafted into the league out of Georgia between the hedges, 2018, when many of us were talking about Sony Michel instead, let's not forget.
Yep.
He has now 24 100-yard rushing games. That is the most in the NFL. One more than, yes, Derrick Henry, the diminisher. That's it. And then the fact that Jacoby Brissett is playing mostly mistake-free football, completing almost two-thirds of his passes, 61-92, 596 yards, four touchdowns and an interception. That's what you need. Don't turn it over. Let Chubb do the work. When Chubb's not doing the work, let Kareem Hunt do the work. Play defense. Don't let Corey Davis run it 66 yards into the end zone with everyone jogging after him. Don't let Garrett Wilson down the field like Joe Flacco knife through hot butter Joe Flacco. You're going to win football games in Cleveland without Deshaun Watson. And then when Watson returns, well, I would proffer everybody to say look out. This division could be the Browns' division to win now. Obviously, we're marathoning. We're not sprinting. But they have won two of their first three without Deshaun Watson. And if they did not go nappy nap time against the Jets with 90 seconds to go, they'd be perfect. Next up for them is a visit to Atlanta after the mini bye before they send Myles Garrett towards the rib cartilage of the Chargers. Terrific quarterback. Yep, New England. That'll be a fun one for Brissett. At Baltimore, home for Cincinnati, then a bye. And then right around the corner, you've got Watson coming back. So that's the way things are going for the Cleveland Browns right now. Amari Cooper.
He looks good.
I know where he would look better. Back-to-back 100-yard receiving game since weeks 5 through 6 in 2016. It's working.
Really glad that his former employees decided that he, employers, I'm sorry, decided that he wasn't really worth paying.
That's the one I said where he would look better right
now. Well, I figured, so I just wanted to give you what you, I was just like, boy.
And that performance last night by the Browns, and certainly that rushing attack, the Pittsburgh Steeler fan base, if they have to choose one thing that they hate the most, right, it would be losing to the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And then being run through by the Browns. That's the one. Run over by them.
Man, I can't imagine what Steeler Twitter was last night.
That's the one. Run over and run through by them. And certainly in a game that they led at halftime 14-13, because for the first time in, about 9 quarters, you would say, they started to try and let's see if George Pickens can make a play. Mm-hmm. And the catch that Pickens made was Odell Beckham-like, and you could see that on Twitter. Oh, my God, it was like Odell again, and then you take a look at it and like, yeah.
It might have been better.
That's a conversation piece, which you never thought you'd have to say, but what a grab.
Look at that.
The 36-yarder was more yards than he had in his first two games combined. Yeah. And, you know, that's the point here is like, can we throw it deep? Can we throw it down the field? And Trubisky did throw a lot outside the numbers last night. It was just the efficiency problem that you have when you're Pittsburgh on offense and you go 1 for 9 on third downs. That's the one. Oh, my gosh. And then you keep putting your defense without TJ Watt right back on the field. 1 for 9 on third. If you just get 33% of them, just get me 2 more first downs on third down. Maybe you don't put Chubb back on the field and he doesn't run over your guys. But that was the issue last night. That was the issue, was when they needed to find that one more first down and keep from getting off the field. Just couldn't do it. Trubisky couldn't get it done. And so this is what happens when you're 1-2 and folks look around and say, okay, we're 0-6 now all time without TJ Watt, and he's going to be gone for a while. And all right, had we not gotten that break in week 1 by having the Bengals kicking game completely thrown off by a long snapper injury, we'd be 0-3. And when you are looking for a spark in the NFL and you're a team that just drafted a rookie quarterback whose fan base is quite familiar with because he played his college ball right on the doorstep, right in the same building as the Steelers, you know where it's going to go. And Mike Tomlin, this isn't his first rodeo. So he knew the question would come after the game. Certainly, it's a short week game, meaning they now have a little extra time on the back end to get, say, their rookie quarterback, Kenny Pickett, up to speed in time for their week 4 home date at Acrisure against the Jets. Well, here's what Mike Tomlin had to say on that subject last night.
Like heading into the mini bye that you guys have, do you consider making any changes, whether quarterback play calling?
I'm not in that mindset. I'm interested in reviewing this tape and looking at the totality of it and figuring out how we collectively get better. So the answer to that question is definitively no.
Okay.
Shutting it down.
Definitively.
Shutting it down. Deontay Johnson had one go through his hands, didn't he, last night? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a nicely thrown ball by Trubisky, and Like I said, just give me a couple more first downs on third down, and you might win last night's game. You know, you might not throw your defense back out there in the third quarter and watch a 6-minute long drive that just resulted in a field goal, by the way. 16-14, that's a winnable football game last night. And so I'm not surprised Tomlin is going to stick to his guns, because guess what? This isn't like a who's the last coach to get got in the NFL because the rookie quarterback they just drafted wasn't believed in by the coach in a way, and he got got. His name is Anthony Lynn here in Los Angeles. Remember that when Justin Herbert came in and won a football game, and all of a sudden it's still Tyrod Taylor's job, and he was just trying to be, you know, I guess – old school coach saying you don't lose your job around here due to a wayward
doctor's needle,
right? But Tomlin's not going to get got, period, end of story. He knows his team better than most. You got to believe in him and trust him. But the Steelers fans are going to start howling, and I don't know if he cares. Problem for them is their offense doesn't look very efficient, certainly not on third down. Najee Harris hasn't gone off yet. I don't know if he's 100% himself. And T.J. Watt, without whom the Steelers have yet to win a game since he's been drafted out of Wisconsin, he's not walking through that door for quite some time. So Tomlin is going to stick with Trubisky and tamp it all down. He's not going to go for this whole picket stuff. And then you look at the Steelers' schedule down the road. There's a bye week right there at week 9. I think he wants to go through with Trubisky right up to that and see. Give him 8 games. Give him 8 games. 3's not enough. We're marathoning. We're not sprinting. His job's not in any danger, Tomlin. He doesn't care. He just thinks he knows best, and I don't blame him. Guy's got a proven track record, and I know that's potentially dismaying to some Steeler fans who still don't understand why they don't like their coach. But you got that. That's where I think that's my interpretation of his there, you know, emphatically no thoughts right now.
Rich, Najee did have a great touchdown run yesterday with the stiff arm and then just kind of blasting his way.
Right. He hasn't had one of those games like Chubb,
where
he goes for 3 digits and he's going to just grind you down. We haven't seen that yet.
Yep.
And then, you know, hey, maybe we start flipping it up to George Pickens a little bit more and see what happens.
I think so.
Good things. Dude
can make plays.
Because guess what? That wasn't a 50-50 ball. That was like a 99-1 ball.
Yeah, no one was catching that.
Yeah. Or I should say 199 ball.
Right, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No. And he made it look like 50-50. So maybe that's what we do. But he also, you know, jumped off sides on the onside kick, rookie stuff. And again, that's we're not there in practice. We're not there in the locker room.
Like you said, Rich, give him games. If by game 8 he's still jumping off sides doing stuff, that's one thing. But he's rookie, he's still learning. You got to. Yeah. This takes time.
Well, it's the same thing with Trubisky as well. Yeah. That's what my interpretation is. But maybe Joe Hayden has a better understanding of it because he's played for the man. And he played for both teams. The retired Joe Hayden, when we come back right here in studio, in person, on the Rich Eisen Show, one of the most delightful individuals the NFL has seen in quite some time. Joe Hayden, when we come back here on a game, on a day, a busy Friday on the Rich Eisen Show. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant, supply chains are clogged, and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for margins? Well, not every business is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs as well, helps you automate your manual business processes and see where to save your money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to NetSuite.com/RichPod right now. NetSuite.com/RichPod. It's NetSuite.com/RichPod. What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jai Alai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Hylai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Hylai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. We're here on our terrestrial radio show, Rich Eisen Show. We've got Joe Haden sitting here on our program, the seventh overall pick of the 2010 draft. Who did the Jets take in that draft, Chris Brockman? Have you not found it yet?
The Jets were drafted at the bottom. They took Kyle Wilson.
Oh, they were, I knew it was a corner. They weren't coming to get you.
No, they were 29th that year.
They had no shot at you.
They weren't coming.
Who was the 10th? Who was the 10th pick?
10th pick was, let's see, Tyson Alualu went to Jacksonville.
Oh, my boy. He plays with the Steelers right now, Alualu.
Let's see. Okay. Earl Thomas went 14th that year.
Okay.
That was a surprise. That was Pete Carroll's first draft. Remember that? And everybody thought that they would go with what was the name of the safety out of
Taylor Mays.
USA. They thought they were going to go. Yeah, because Pete would go with a Trojan.
Yes,
and instead, no, he went to with Earl Thomas. Yeah. You know, a Texas Longhorn. Everyone's like, okay, Pete's gonna switch it up. This is the way he's gonna do it in the NFL.
This was the year, actually. I think the commish bro hug started. Trent Williams went fourth overall.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aaron Bradford, number one. Yep.
So, why'd you decide to retire, Joe?
Man, I didn't plan on it. Honestly, I was training, I was working out this whole off season, like ready to sign. I wanted to sign with a contender. I wanted to either play in LA because I live in Encino, you know, or go to Buffalo because I really feel like they have a really really solid chance to win. So the longer I was working out, I was here. My son just started kindergarten, and I was working out, and then I would go golfing. I was hanging out with my family, and I was kind of just like kind of got comfortable, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to play, you know, but at the same time, they were kind of like offering me league minimum deals. And like, I was like, do I really want to move my family? When at the end of the day, I had a great career. And I kind of I was at peace with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been real. Do I really want to leave what I got going on right now? And, the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I was like, It's been a great run, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just happy being home, like just love being a dad, spending time with my kids that I wasn't able to like really do. Taking them to school every day, like it was just, it was kind of just like, what am I really doing it for? You know what I'm saying?
And so, of course, so you're trading in the huddle for circle time? Is that what you're doing
Huddle for circle time, man. I'm full blown. I wanted, literally, I saw that best dad ever.
I need that.
I need that.
You best not miss, is all I'm saying. If you're coming at this.
It's $5 at Home Goods, Joe.
I'll get what?
Joe Haden circle time. I love it. Okay. Again, it's just, I think folks don't understand what it takes to get ready. And then once you make a mental choice to say, that's it, how difficult it is to just ramp it back up, right?
I've been doing this. I played in the league for 12 years. I did my college thing for three.
Right.
And having that schedule of being like, look, every day, like in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about football. I'm worried about like training. I'm thinking about what I'm eating. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a grind. It's a real grind to be a professional and be at the top of your game at all times. So when I was like, finally, I was relaxing and I was with my wife and I would just wake up and we'd be like, yo, what are you about to do? Like, we'd go get lunch, go get brunch, just go hang out. And it was like, man, like this is kind of smooth. I have 24 hours. I can do kind of what I want to do. And I've never really felt that freedom. You have off season, but at the same time, I'm training like every day, still working out, making sure, you know what I'm saying, things are getting done to be at the highest level. But it feels kind of good to be able to kind of like, you know what I'm saying, like chill. Like, what did I really work this hard for? You know what I'm saying?
I totally understand that. And then, so, I mean, I guess not to just keep pushing, but I'll ask. Yeah. You know, Eric Weddle was just sitting around.
Yeah.
And the Rams called him up, and he knew the system, and they're like, mm-hmm. you know, you got 4 to 6 in it.
Yeah.
I mean, would you be up for something like that? I mean,
I think I'll be kind of cheating the game a little bit now for me. The way I work every day, just focused and dialed in, I think it's more of a, like, I don't want to put out a bad. I don't want to go out there and not be Joe Hayden. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I want to put my best foot forward every time that I play because mm-hmm. I don't want to cheat the game. I feel like now I'm kind of more in a, just a, like a zen. Like, I watch the games. Like, I watched the game yesterday, and I was like this. I don't think I want to be out there.
So you watched the Thursday night game between two teams that you
yes.
played for.
Yes.
A rivalry that you know from both.
Yes,
both ends sides. Of the equation, yes. And you were watching it last night, and you're like, where were you watching it?
I was watching it. I was at Davenport's in Encino at a little steakhouse.
That's a nice spot.
Nice spot. A little date night, watching the game.
Date night, watching the game.
Literally, couple cocktails. It was crazy. I was like, dude. So,
I think Joe and I just became best friends.
I know. Yeah, a couple cocktails. After a couple of them, you're like, you know what? That elf's not too bad.
Looks nice on the 50.
Yeah, it doesn't look too big. But and you weren't missing it? You didn't have that? Like, man, I want
to. I would say week one, the first week, I kind of was like, I was in a weird place when I was watching the Steelers play the Bengals. And then after that, I think that one was kind of like the first one really hit me like, dang, you're really a fan watching the games. But yesterday I was all in. I was good to go. You know, like when I say I'm at peace, like I really feel good. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's next?
So what is next?
What is next? I'm trying to do a little commentating.
Paparazzi?
Hanging out with you.
Okay.
Trying to figure it out. You know, I think I'll watch you. Just show me the ropes.
Okay.
You know,
I think you've got the chops for it, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Big time.
Thank you.
Okay. So we could talk a little bit about that.
A little bit of that.
We could offline that if you'd like.
Yes, please. I would love to.
And so also, you know, you have a one-day contract in your back pocket?
One-day contract in my back pocket.
What's that?
We're going to be out in Cleveland, hopefully around like they play Monday night, the mm-hmm. Halloween game.
Mm-hmm.
So I should be signing with the Browns for a day, retiring the Brown coming up at the end of October.
All right, so the Halloween game, let me get this right here.
Yes, please pull up.
So I got the Cleveland Browns. You want to pop the schedule up there, Mr. Hoskins? So there it is.
Bengals.
Woo. Okay. Okay,
yep.
A little Monday nighter against the Bengals.
Monday night action. Yeah, it should be sweet.
Okay, on top of the elf and everything right there against the Bengals. That'll be a big one. Okay.
Oh,
so you're going to go for Halloween, you're going to go as a civilian.
I'm going to go.
That's what you're going to go. You're going to go as Joe Hayden. Yes. Civilian clothes. That's going to be okay. Fantastic.
It'll be a good weekend out in Cleveland.
And then before that, though, you're going back to Gainesville.
Going back to Gainesville. Getting to the Gator Hall of Fame October 8th. October 8th. I think it's their homecoming game against Missouri.
Okay. A little homecoming. You're not going there to get
no.
beat.
No, we're going there to whoop some
tail. Who was on your team on that BCS National
It was team? Tim Tebow. It was Percy Harvin. It was Cam Newton. It was both the Pouncey twins, Brandon Spikes, Janoris Jenkins.
Damn.
Riley Cooper, Lewis Murphy.
When's the Major 30 Wright. For 30 on that team coming?
Oh, it's coming out.
Is it
it's
really?
It's coming out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've been working on it this summer. So I think
because it's Urban. Urban's the coach.
Urban Meyer, yeah. And we had Coach Mullen was our offensive coordinator, and Coach Charlie Strong was our defense coordinator.
And Aaron Hernandez was
and
on
Hernandez
the team.
And Hernandez was on the team.
Oh
yes.
My goodness!
We had gracious. A squad.
You did.
We had a wild team.
What was it? What was it like being around Tebow? Time. What was that like?
Tebow. Joe. He literally we have. He would have people cry. When they would see him on campus, it was something that I promise you, I would not make it up if it didn't happen. Like, I saw it with my own eyes. I'm like, oh, this is crazy, you know. And like, the thing about Tebow was he did not drink, he did not smoke, he did not curse. Everything that he practiced what he preached.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been a big Tim Tebow fan because I'm like, I would have lost my mind in Florida having like the way people would come up and just cry. I'm like, bro, what is going on here, Tebow? And me and Cooper was his roommate, and I would hang out with Riley all the time. So we'll go over there, hang out, and like Tebow was just unbelievable the way he had so much.
So you're walking on campus in Gainesville.
No.
And Tim Tebow's there, you're there, mm-hmm. and somebody sees him and starts crying.
Starts crying. literally a nice looking lady. Nice looking lady. I was like,
and he hands her a tissue and walks on.
He's like, oh man, man, gives a little hug and then steps off.
I mean, he was like all four Beatles wrapped into one.
I've never seen anything like it.
Anything like it in the pros too, Joe Hayden. I was at a Thursday night game in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jets versus the Broncos, and the Jets were losing. And they were still losing, even though Tebow for three quarters was throwing it like, and this is with the ultimate of respect, and I know this sounds very disrespectful. It looked like he was throwing it with his feet. I'm serious. Joe, I'm telling you, he was just missing
was the ball
receivers.
Slippery?
It was not. It was just
was it,
it was not. It was just him sometimes not having the right mechanics, the right throw, the typical stuff. That's why he didn't get on the field so much in the pros. Is he's practice, the balls were hitting the ground, and you know what our coaches are like that in practice.
Like
if
that.
You don't practice well, you're not playing. Mm-hmm. Until it came to the point where they, you know, John Fox had to put him out right? So he did. And as we all know, Tebow time would hit. And the fourth quarter hit, he was a different quarterback.
Yeah.
The balls were now suddenly perfect spirals, hitting somebody right in stride. And then when the throws weren't there, he was smart enough to pull it down and make the play. I looked around at Marshall Faulk and Mooch and the rest of us for Thursday Night Football. I'm like, this is real.
Yeah.
Tebow time is real.
It's a real thing.
Seen anything like that in my entire life.
The dude puts the work in. He puts the work in.
Sure.
Yeah, he does. He does. But
now he does it for TV, too.
He's crushing it.
Joe Hayden here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let me put you in the role of paparazzi then, shall we? Mike Tomlin says, did you hear his soundbite where he said he has emphatically not going to think about switching quarterbacks? What did you see when you were, you know, on your date night watching TV last night?
First half, he looked really good. I mean, he looked nice. I would say, like, the same thing with Coach T. We just need to convert on more of those on those third downs. Like, going 1-for-9 is you're not going to win football games doing that. So I think at the end of the day, just more shorter third downs, completing those, and just being able to make drives last a little longer. We can't keep going 3-and-out, win on first down. I don't think that he was doing too bad. I think Coach T is going to do a great job of studying the tape, showing that it's a couple little things, you know what I'm saying, that would make that. We could have easily, the Steelers could have easily won that game yesterday. But I think that just like you said, he's not a quick reactor. He's going to go watch the tape. Go figure out what's going on. He's going to coach some dudes up crazy. So I believe in Coach T. I think that he's got a process. And I think that, like I said, if they just win third down a little bit more and stop Nick Chubb from running the ball crazy like that, I think it'll be a different game.
Okay. I mean, I just don't know how Pickett doesn't wind up in there at some point in time. That's just the way the NFL works, but he's just a different. Tomlin just runs a different shop. The Steelers organization is a different organization where they don't. The pressure is to.
The pressures from outside.
Put a kid in there.
They don't feel that.
What's he like with the outside pressures and keeping them out? Joe Hayden.
Coach Tomlin is very. He's very self-aware, and I think he knows the heartbeat of the team. He's able to talk to us and very transparent of like. When you didn't perform. So he'll go in there and he'll be on Trubisky. He'll be on the line. He'll be on everybody. So you know where you stand and you know that you need to get your stuff going. So I think that Coach T is able to just really communicate to all of the players in a way that you hear exactly what he's saying. And you know if you're not performing, he's going to be able to switch it up.
Do you have a safe for work version of a story where he did that to you? Joe, did he ever call you out? Or?
Oh, man, he called me out a couple of times. I think just when... With us, it's little people hitting. If you're a cornerback and you're not filling up the gaps, crack replacing. So I think a couple times I might have missed a tackle when it was on me. It's like, Joe, like this is, you literally just put it on the screen. And the thing is about Coach T, the honest guy don't lie. So I know when I messed up. He knows when I messed up. So he'll be able to tell you in front of your peers. So he's not calling you out, but he's kind of like showing you where, like, this is where you need to be.
So you, Joe Hayden, you're in like probably what, like you're 9, you're 10?
Oh, I was year 10.
Okay, you're year 10.
Yeah.
You've been, you're got Pro Bowls in your on your resume, and he's showing your tape of you missing a tackle in front of the whole team.
Yes. And I'm taking it just because, like, you have to, you know, like, he's not, I didn't make the tackle, I missed it. So you got to be able to literally, you sit there and like, this, all right, no, bet for sure. That's on me. You got to take it on the chest and make sure, you know, Coach T's watching, so do your job, and then you'll be fine. If you don't, he'll call you out.
So that's the accountability that you hear.
Yes, yes. So that's why when he says things like that, he's going to go in there and you're going to have meetings. He's going to talk to Trubisky, like literally in front of the entire team. He's going to talk to any offensive lineman, any defensive lineman that's not in their gap. So it's like each person, he's going to be able to like talk to you as a man because he's not lying to you. He's telling you what he wants and what needs to be done. And you know what you need to do.
And what happens if a player doesn't particularly take that coaching very well, Joe?
Coach T doesn't make threats. He just makes moves. You might not be on the team. Like, seriously, he gets it done. But that's what you want.
That's when he says that we like volunteers, not hostages.
Yes.
That's what he means. But remember he said that about Melvin Ingram?
And then Coach T will tell you, too, if you mess up too many times, you're like this. If you don't fix that, we're going shopping. That's what he'll say. We're going shopping.
That's what he says?
Yes. We're going shopping. I'm like, okay. That means you're not going to be here. Your seat will be replaced by someone else.
We're going shopping. Yes. And Nick Chubb is no joke. That's it, right?
He's a man.
Okay. What do you see when you look at the Browns right now, when you watch the way that they've played, Joe? Because they had a team-only meeting on defense earlier this week after what the Jets did to them at the end of the game just 4 or 5 days ago. And it looked like there was a challenge that was thrown down that they kind of met, last night.
Sure.
Wouldn't you think?
I think they have a very, very solid team all around. And the offensive line is amazing. The defensive line is amazing. And I think in the league, if you have pass rush and you can control the ball, running the ball, like that's more than half the battle. So I think the Browns are really good from offensive line perspective, defensive line perspective, and then they have a great running back. So you can control the clock. You can control most of the game.
Joe Hayden here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you're a smart man, sir. So when you said earlier that there were only a handful of teams that you were considering to try and maybe give it one more shot for, you mentioned the two LA teams, and obviously that's geographically sound for you and your family. But a highly geographically unsound spot from Los Angeles would be Western New York, and you're like, you were going to consider the Bills. Yeah. I mean, they passed the eye test, to say the least. Why? I will just give you the floor on why you were thought, okay, the Bills, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that whole thing.
I think because mainly last year, I think they could have beat Kansas City. I thought they were going to win the Super Bowl last season. And then just with the chip on their shoulder, Josh Allen is a man. Stephon Diggs, he's from Maryland. He's one of my really good friends. I was hanging out with Vaughn the whole offseason. He was recruiting me to Buffalo big time.
He was?
Oh, yeah. He was literally, I think he might have gave me a couple dollars from his contract. But Vaughn, he's like literally one of my best friends. He golfed all the time. So, like, just that part. And then just Tre'Davious White, there's so much talent. I played with Poyer. Micah High is one of my really, really good friends. It was just great team. And I just really think that they have a really good shot of winning the Super Bowl.
I mean, you take a look at them and what they're doing, as I was saying earlier this week, and I know I'm going to be a broken record until they don't do it. They're soul snatchers. They're not just coming to beat you. And now twice, they've left their opponents wondering what happened? And can we match that if we have to play them again?
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
You know?
I think they have so much firepower, and I think them losing last year makes them even more hungry.
What do you think of the Dolphins before I let you go and that offense and what we saw and what we're seeing? What do you think of that, Joe?
Explosive. There's so much speed over there, and you can't teach speed. So that's going to be tough for any defense.
What defense do you think out there could be? I mean, Buffalo's going in a little banged up as well.
Yeah.
I believe as we're currently talking, Hyde has been ruled out of that game for Sunday. What do you think? I mean,
I think they're going to score some points for sure. I think, and now with Tre'Davious White, he's still not out there.
Right.
That dude's a baller. So I think when the Bills get all the way healthy, their defense is going to be crazier. But I think right now, they got to stand up somehow.
Okay. So
keep them in front of two high safeties.
All right. Two last ones for you here. The receiver that gave you the most sleepless nights, if you will.
Antonio Brown.
You didn't stutter.
Antonio Brown. It was because I played him and AJ Green when I first got to Cleveland, because I was following the best receiver, and we played him twice a year, every year, and Big Ben was diamond in it, and it was just, I was worried about Ben and AB, so it was kind of like a two-headed monster.
Yeah, you didn't stutter. You just said it right
out. Oh, yeah, because it's honest. It's honest.
Right. And then the quarterback, who is the one that you knew you needed to get your rest for? I know you just mentioned Dimes by Ben.
It was Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
You got any good going against Brady stories?
Oh, I got a great pick against Brady.
Oh.
You know, I think it was like 3 years ago when the Steelers, they came to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We won the game. I think that might be one of my favorite picks of my career. Yes. Closed it out. The Patriots were beating the Steelers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I shut that down.
You didn't go full Lattimore on him, did you?
No, right up to his face? No. Respectful. Respectfully picked him.
respectfully picked him.
After the game, do you ask Tom to sign the ball? Is that something?
That's so much disrespect. No. never.
It's Joe Hayden, man.
Come on, man. I'm classy.
That was the thing that people do. I don't know.
It's Joe Hayden. Joe, anytime you want to get paparazzi time, reps, paparazzi right here time.
We're golfing.
We're gonna golf. Oh, by the way, oh yeah, this is fun. It's fun golfing with you.
Well, great time.
Don't lose my number.
I'm not gonna lie. The one time that I golfed with Joe, you know, hole 10 was a little bit fuzzy after the front nine.
yeah, we're throwing it back a little bit.
Oh, we indulged
on the front.
We indulged.
It was a Saturday. Kids, both our kids were handled. We were good.
Please invite me next time. Good.
Oh yeah,
1,000%.
Absolutely, Joe Hayden, you're the best. Congratulations. Oh, let's stay in touch. Anytime you want to come here, this floor is yours.
I appreciate your time, boss.
Joe Hayden, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, the latest on the Celtics, and then Cooper Rush and Daniel Jones of the Cowboys and Giants back to back. That's in hour number two here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay, anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh. Are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the hell?
On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross, available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
When you become a member of Navy Federal Credit Union, life gets better. One big thing that gets better is buying a car. See, Navy Federal created a fully loaded car buying experience just for you, where you can finance, buy, protect, and enjoy your auto purchase all from one convenient place. They offer great auto loan rates as well, and your pre-approval is good for 90 days, so you know what you can afford while you shop. You can even shop for new and used cars with Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar. Also, you can get exclusive member savings with Carfax, SiriusXM, and more. And because it's Navy Federal, they're always available with 24/7 member service representatives to answer any questions. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/carbuying. That's NavyFederal.org/carbuying. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal Credit Union, federal insured by NCUA. Great chat with Joe Hayden right there. Just dynamite. Love him. One of my favorites. I don't know what's going on with the Celtics and Ime Udoka. I mean, this is wild, shocking, confusing, all at once. It started, as we all know, with a Woj bomb with a couple of nights ago, saying that the Celtics could potentially fire, if not suspend, a huge suspension being faced by Udoka for violating organizational policies. It was just so vague, so strange, so weird, and so, you know, irresponsible of the Celtics to let that out there, unless the Celtics didn't want it out there. And today, when the owner of the Celtics, Wick Grusbeck, spoke today along with Brad Stevens, it sure looked like they were pretty pissed that it got out there. Now, you could sit there, they're acting like that.
Yeah, Brad looked pretty pissed.
But yeah. You know, because they, you know, a lot of the, many of their female employees, because the word is, again, is that Udoka had an extramarital affair consensually with a member of the Celtics organization. And it's like, okay, if it's consensual, like, what harm is it? Well, he's also the head coach. Well, there's also human resources policies that maybe he didn't follow. Well, we just don't know, and we're just filling it up. We just don't know, and the Celtics didn't tell us a damn thing more today other than the fact that something happened that they've been investigating since the summer, and the investigation came back with multiple violations that caused the Celtics to make this maneuver. And the coach himself put out a statement last night apologizing to players, fans, and the entire Celtics organization, for my family for letting them down. I'm sorry for putting the team in this difficult situation, and I accept the team's decision. Out of respect for everyone involved, I will have no further comment. And the team hardly commented again today. So we just got to, like, just trust us. He did something terribly wrong. He's now suspended. Here was the owner of the Celtics, again, Wick Grousbeck, today.
We have reflected as a group and with outside advisors and a diverse group, in fact, of people deciding really what to do, which I take ultimate responsibility for at the Celtics, everything that is decided. But I personally feel that this is well-warranted and appropriate, backed by substantial research and evidence and facts. And so I'm standing by the decision, and Ime has accepted it and has expressed, in fact, appreciation. I don't want to belabor that, but he's been accepting of it, and he's planning to move forward on this basis. So we are over here. We are suspending him for the year, and it's in place, and we're moving forward.
And then the question is, what are the details? Well, we can't tell you. Well, what are the ideas about you know, your coach coming back? What does he need? What criteria does he need to meet to fulfill the last year of his contract and be, you know, a lame duck coach? We haven't thought about that yet. I mean, that's the frustrating thing. And then you watch members of the NBA media as well, and you could see that they know what the details are, but they're not telling, or they can't say, because it's really, really sensitive. The subject is sensitive. And those in the know, and they're not saying, whether it's the Celtics or the coach or anything else. So what am I supposed to do here, sitting here trying to give you my thoughts, other than the fact that it is outrageous? And just to front load again, what's being said is that, you know, we're talking more about this coach than Brett Favre's situation. And I'll just say it one more time. Brett Favre appears to have done something awful, and it looks like he stole money from those who need it. He says he didn't do it. The texts and everything else that have come out makes it seem like he damn knew what the hell he was doing, and it's awful. And if he is criminally charged, I will be the first one talking about him walking to the courthouse. But he's also 12 years removed from the NFL. This is the head coach of the Boston Celtics, who's just been sat by their organization for a year, and they're not saying why, and they're saying, trust us, there's a particular reason why, and the coach is accepting of it. I don't know what else to say, other than the fact that it's sad, and I feel for the families involved and the people involved and the speculation surrounding it that can't be substantiated or put to bed because nobody's talking. There's been a lot of trust us. Well, hour two coming up. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, it didn't seem like what went on today with Brad and Wick really shed any real light.
No,
the kind of thing that hit me was that it was in the Celtics statement last night, it was violations. It wasn't one. It wasn't singular. It was plural. So, you know, you can only led to believe that this went on often, or they told him not to, and he just did it anyway, or he didn't disclose. And it's just, you know, it's just really frustrating as a fan, because like, you're so excited for how last year ended, and you're getting ready for this year. We're weeks away from training camp, and now this bomb gets blown up and kind of dissolves your team.
But just the way that it it was presented to the rest of the world over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, it hasn't been great either.
Stinks, and it made it seem like the Celtics just found out about it 2 days ago,
right.
And then somebody leaked it to Woj, and the Celtics took way too long to make their decision because right. Twitter was trying to fill the void, and right. that's the way, it looked over the last 24, 48 hours. And instead, the Celtics are like, we learned about it in the summer. We've been investigating it. There's multiple teams that have been looking at it, and it got leaked out, and Stevens called it BS and actually said that word on live television.
And like I said, you feel for all the female employees of the Celtics who are right. having their photos thrown up on social media because everyone's just speculating who it might be. Yeah.
That's the one. It's just awful.
It sucks.
The whole thing is a 21st century disaster. Hour two coming up on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.